بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد so we finished discussing Aziz and also the Khabar Mashhoor. Now we go on to discuss the Ghareeb, Khabar Ghareeb. But Imam Ibn Hajar just rahmatullahi alayhi, what he does is he just places a kind of a note here. And so just saying that the fourth type is Ghareeb. And then he goes into another discussion and he will come back to the discussion of Ghareeb. So here he's just telling us what a Ghareeb is. And then he's just placing a note saying that we will discuss this later on. And then he moves on to discuss something else. Okay. So he doesn't actually discuss Ghareeb in this place. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والرابع الغريب وهو ما يتفرد بروايته شخص واحد في أي موضوع وقع التفرد به من السند. زيد, take this call to Baba teaching. Dadaji. وهو ما يتفرد بروايته شخص واحد في أي موضع وقع التفرد به من السند على ما سنقسم إليه الغريب المطلق والغريب النسبي. This is غريب is when a ma yatafarradu bi riwayati shakhsun wahidun, when there is tafarrud of one person, a tafarrud of one person in just one minute, please, everyone, just bring it here. Sorry, that was my father speaking. So basically, tafarrud means when there is one person in, at least one person in any part of the isnad. Yeah? في أي موضوع وقع التفرد به من السند. And he says that we will further divide the غريب into two types, غريب مطلق and غريب نسبي. So that which is absolute غريب and that which is relatively غريب. So he stops the discussion here and then he moves on to more kind of kalami discussion rather than hadithi discussion, but he will come back to that. وَكُلُّهَا أَيْ الْأَقْسَامُ الْأَرْبَعَةَ الْمَسْكُورَةَ سِوَى الْأَوَّلُ وَهُوَ الْمُتَوَاتِرْ أَحَادِ. And all of these four that have been mentioned, other than the first one, which is the mutawatir ahad. So basically saying that other than, so there are four that he has discussed, which is mutawatir, mashhur, aziz, and ghareeb. Out of the four, except the one, the other three, which is the mashhur, the aziz, and the ghareeb, are ahad. وَيُقَالُ لِكُلِّ مِنْهَا خَبَرُ وَاحِدٍ. And all of them are basically Khabar Wahid. So the Mashhoor is Khabar Wahid. The Aziz is Khabar Wahid. The Ghareeb is Khabar Wahid. وخبر الواحد في اللغة ما يرويه شخص واحد. And Khabar Wahid in the Lugha is that which only one person has narrated. However, وفي الاصطلاح ما لم يجمع شرط التواتر. And in istilah, in the technical meaning of hadith, is that which has not reached the level of tawatur. So anything which falls below the level of tawatur is khabru wahid. Yeah, does that make sense? So khabru wahid, as we can understand, or we sometimes think, is just one person narrating from one person. That's not khabru wahid. Khabru wahid is anything which falls below the level of you know, anything that falls below the level of a tawatur, at least in hadith science. Any questions?
No.
Okay. وَفِيهَا أَيْ الْآحَاد. And from the ahad, what we have is مَقْبُول and مَرْدُود. مَقْبُول, وهو ما يجب العمل به عند الجمهور. مقبول is that upon which it is, according to the majority of the scholars, it is necessary to do amal on. So this is مقبول أحاديث. وفيها المردود, and also there is مردود. مردود basically means that which is either rejected or it has weaknesses inside it. Okay, so the خبر أحد, the مشهور, the عزيز, and the غريب can either be accepted or it can either be rejected. Or so what is مردود? وهو الذي لم يرجح صدق المخبر به لتوقف الاستدلال. Okay. Sometimes what happens is that the editor of the book, by presenting certain punctuations, introduces mistakes by putting in these introduction punctuations. Okay, so what is the مردود? The مردود is وهو الذي لم يرجح صدق المخبر به. مقبول is the one where the truthfulness of the person who's giving the information is not preponderant. We cannot ascertain for sure whether this person is speaking the truth or not. Okay, so this is quite important to understand, that the lam yarjah, right, that is no, there is no tarjih of the truthfulness, rather than saying wa huwa alladhi yakdhib al mukhbir bihi, is the one that the mukhbir bihi is lying. Here he's basically saying we just don't have enough evidence to ascertain whether the person who is giving مخبر به, or whether the person who's giving information and the information that is being given, whether it is truthful or not. This is important because مردود, although in the لغة مردود basically means rejected, but as a hadith terminology, it has gradations. There are certain ahadith which has which had to be rejected, and others are not rejected, they're tolerated, but they're weak. Okay, so that's why he didn't mention kidb straight away. He just said that we can't ascertain the sidq of the information that is being given by the mukhbir. Why? لتوقف الاستدلال بها. Okay. So this bit here, li, yeah, is not related to mardud. Okay, this is what I said, there was a confusion introduced. This should be on another line. لتوقف الاستدلال is basically related to خبر الأحد, okay, itself. It's related to أحد. Why do we have مقبول and مردود in the أحد whilst there isn't a مقبول and مردود in the متواتر? The only thing in the متواتر is all of the مقبول. However, why do we have some أحد أحاديث to be مقبول and some أحد حديث to be مردود? Here is this لام is the تعليل. Here is the answer to that question. So it's not actually related to مردود, it's related to الأحد. That's why this should have been on another line, as if it's creating a bit of, or at least there should have been a full stop here. It's creating confusion. لتوقف الاستدلال بها على البحث. Because, so here the translation is a bit convoluted. لتوقف الاستدلال بها. Because to use as دليل, استدلال, to use as دليل the خبر الأحد depends on, توقف depends on. So I'll just do the kind of like one by one translation and then we'll put it in proper English. لتوقف الاستدلال بها. To use as دليل the خبر الآحاد depends on على البحث to investigate عن أحوال رواتها the situations of its narrators. So why do we have in the خبر الآحاد مقبول and مردود? The rational argument for that is because in order to use the خبر واحد as a دليل, it depends on investigating the situation of its narrators. Okay, in order to use the خبر واحد as a دليل, it depends on investigating the situations of its narrators. Do you see the translation is a bit convoluted? Yeah?
Yeah.
So basically, دون الأول, and not in the first, وهو المتواتر, فكله مقبول. But you don't need to do that. You don't need to do بحث of the روات in order to do استدلال of the متواتر. فكله مقبول. All of it is مقبول. However, when it comes to the خبر واحد, in order whether to know should you do استدلال with this خبر واحد or not, that depends on investigating the أحوال of the روات. Yeah. Just going to check something. So, Maghrib here in Cardiff, it is at 6:28. Isha is at 7:48. I don't know where you brothers are in the world. I know that Hussein, you're in London. What time is Maghrib in London?
Starts at 6:14.
6:14. And what time is Isha? Do you know?
7:34.
Okay. In that case, then what we'll do is we'll take the class up to 7 o'clock. We'll finish at 7 o'clock and then you can do your Maghrib, okay? Because, you know, because the Isha time, unless the Isha time kicks in, we're still in Maghrib time. So we'll take it up to 7 o'clock and then we'll finish. We pick up after Ramadan and then you can do your Maghrib and wait and do your Isha. Is that okay? Rather than having a break now.
That's fine, inshallah.
So did you understand what he's saying? He's giving a dalil, a rational argument for why in the Khabr al-Ahad you have some hadiths which are accepted and some hadiths which are to be rejected. And it basically says because the Khabr al-Ahad, you need to investigate the nature of the narration and the nature and the ahwal of its narrators. And once you investigate the ahwal of his narrators, you can either come up with a conclusion that this hadith is accepted or this hadith is rejected. Whereas in the mutawatir, you don't need to do that. فَكُلُّهُ مَقْبُولٌ. Why? لِإِفَادَتِهِ الْقَطْعَ بِصِدْقِ مُخْبِرِهِ. Because the mutawatir gives a benefit of yaqeen that the informant is speaking the truth. It gives yaqeen that the informant is speaking the truth. بِخِلَافِ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ أَخْبَارِ الْآحَادِ. However, this is in opposition to the other akhbar, i.e. the ahad, that you don't get that level of yaqeen that the مُخْبِر, the informant, is speaking the truth. So because we don't have that level of yaqeen, we need to investigate in order to ascertain whether it should be accepted or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. So then Imam Ibn Hajar picks up a different issue and he says, لكن إنما وجب العمل بالمقبول منها. Despite that, it is wajib to act upon the maqbool hadith. Right? So somebody might say that, well, if it's not yaqeeni, 100% yaqeeni, then why do we need to act upon it? Says no, yaqeen is one thing, okay, and to act upon it is something else. Yaqeen is to do with our aqeedah, but we, as I mentioned previously, that there are many, many things in our life where we don't have 100% yaqeen, but we go with the preponderant understanding, okay? Like, I've never asked my parents whether I am their child. Okay, you can say you got 100% yaqeen, but you don't. I don't have 100% yaqeen because bar of me asking them, there will always be an amount of dhan there. But still, we accept this. There's a very beautiful hadith where a person, he did not really know who his dad was. And a sahabi, he did not know who his dad was. And he asked his mother, and his mother said, well, my husband, right, is your, is your father. Husband's passed away. My husband is your father and no one else. And he should have believed his mother, but he had this niggling, some kind of niggling feeling that maybe his father, who claims to be his father, is not his father. So one day, the companions were asking the Prophet ﷺ quite a number of questions. And the Prophet ﷺ got quite angry, and he basically said, ask me whatever you want. Today, whatever you're going to ask me, I'm going to answer that question. And the companions, who were not that accustomed to the Prophet ﷺ, thought that this was an open-ended session to ask him questions, whereas the senior sahabis understood that this was actually said in anger. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who started crying and started saying a'udhu billah from the anger of the Prophet. But the other companions, they didn't know, and they thought, well, this is a gold mine, let's ask the Prophet. So one person said, ya Rasulullah, where is my father? And he said, your father and my father, they're in Jahannam. So this sahabi, he stood up and he said, ya Rasulullah, who is my father? And he said, your father is the person who claims to be your father. And he became so happy that now the Prophet ﷺ has ascertained. So now that's yaqeen. Before that, he always had dhan, some kind of dhan in his mind. But that's yaqeen. He was so happy that his father is the one that was he actually grew up with, and who is his mother's husband, and and not somebody else. Well, what that basically incident did was he exposed his mother, and his mother was so angry with him. She said, when I told you, you didn't believe me, and now you outed me and exposed me in front of the Prophet and in front of the rest of the community, I'll never talk to you again. And she was very angry with him for that. So this person had dhan, and he changed it to yaqeen through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nevertheless, just because something is not yaqeeni doesn't mean that we don't have to act upon that. Imam Ibn Hajar gives us reasons why, right? يَنَا إِمَّا أَيُّجَدْ فِيهِ أَصْلُ صِفَةِ الْقَبُولِ وَهُوَ ثُبُوتِ صِدْقِ النَّاقِلِ. Either the khabr wahid has got all of the sifat of being accepted. And what is that? وَهُوَ ثُبُوتُ صِدْقِ النَّاقِلِ. And that is that the trustworthiness and the truthfulness of the narrator is established. Or it basically includes the qualities of rejection. And that is that the lie of the narrator is established. Or not either of them. Okay. فالأول, the number one, يغلب على ظني صدق الخبري. The one that has got all of the sifat of qabul, the غالب ظن, preponderant opinion is that we accept the saying of the informant. لثبوتي صدقي ناقله فيؤخذه به, because the truthfulness of the narrator has been established and therefore we accept that. The second one is يَغْلَبُ عَلَى الظَّنِّ كِذْبُ الْخَبَرِ, that there is a preponderant, one conjecture that the khabar is false, because the Naqil, the narrator, his lie is established. Fayutra. So look at this, right? We have established that the narrator, beyond reasonable doubt, we have established that the narrator is a liar. And as a result of this, there is more ghalibizan that the khabar is also a lie. But in reality, it can be that the khabar is truth. Okay? It doesn't mean that a person who's an established liar has to lie every single time. You know the very famous hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, who, when Shaitan came and taunted him 3 days, and then at the end Abu Hurairah said, I'm going to take you to the Prophet, and then Shaitan taught him that you read Ayatul Kursi and Shaitan won't come into your house. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَهُوَ صَادِقٌ فَهُوَ صَدَقَ فَصَدَقَ وَهُوَ أَكْذَبُ الْكَاذِبِينَ, that he has spoken the truth, however he is the worst of the liars. Because Shaitan actually told Abu Hurairah that if you read Ayatul Kursi, then Shaitan will not enter your house. So here, even the devil is not void of the truth. But, so there is a possibility, just because the narrator is a liar does not necessarily mean that the narration is 100% a lie. But there is a strong ghalibul dhan that this person is a pathological liar and therefore he will be lying here. That's still ghalibul dhan. It's not yaqini, because there is still a sliver of doubt that this person might be speaking the truth, like the way that Shaitan and Abu Hurairah and the Prophet said, فَصَدَقَ وَهُوَ أَكْذَبُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Similarly, even though the sidq is established, there is still a sliver of possibility that he might be lying. Okay, so this is why it's غَالِبُ الظَّنِ and it's not yaqeen. If it is established that the naqil is speaking the truth, then the ghalibul dhan is that he is the khabar is sahih or sidq. If it is established that the naqil is a liar, then there's ghalibul dhan that the khabar is a lie. Okay, ghalibul dhan. Number three is in wujidat qarinatun. So neither of them. So aslu sifatul radd. Okay, so in wujidat qarinatun tulhiquhu bi ahad al-qismayn ultuhiqa. If it is found, if there is some signifiers and indicators that are found which associates him or that rawi with one of those two qisms, right, then he will be associated with that qism. We don't really know. There isn't an asl sifat al-qabool and there isn't asl sifat al-rad. We need to investigate it. And if we investigated it and found that there is more of sifat al-qabool, then we accept that hadith. If there is more sifat al-kithb there, then we reject that hadith. So this is what it's saying, that the reason why we don't need yaqeen, but we need we do amal even on ghalib al-dhan, is because ghalib al-dhan, everything in this world focuses, works on ghalib al-dhan. If you can't establish, okay, وَإِلَّا فَيُتَوَقَّفُ فِيهِ, and if you can't find any qarina or any signifier which is associating that third one to either the qabool or rad, then you do tawakkuf, you suspend judgment. Okay, you take a non-committed position, tawakkuf, non-committed position, or suspend judgment. فَإِذَا تُوقِّفَ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ صَارَكَ الْمَرْدُودِ, and when you refrained from practicing that, then it is as though it is like the mardood. Because remember, tawakkuf, yeah, the whole purpose of, you know, these ahadith and things like that is to act upon them. And when you basically say, I'm doing tawakkuf because I don't know, then in other words, you're basically saying that I'm not going to accept it or reject it. But in other words, you're basically saying that I'm not going to act upon it. And not acting upon something, in a way, is akin to rejection. So tawakkuf, in a way, is same as mardood, rejection. But just out of adab, we don't say that I have done rad of this. We just say I have done tawakkuf. Okay, until further. Notice, la li thubuti sara kal mardud. It has become like the mardud. La li thubuti sifati raddi, not because of the establishment of this. Sorry, 1 minute. Not see anything. Not because of la li thubuti sifati raddi, not because the sifat, the quality of rejection is established, bal li kaunihi lam tujad fihi sifatun tujib al-qubul, but because there isn't any sifat found in it which will necessitate accepting that. Wallahu a'lam. Does that make sense? So that was the entire discussion on, first of all, he discussed how other than the mutawatir, the khabri ahad, you have maqbul and mardud. Then he gave a rational argument why there is maqbul and mardud here and not maqbul and mardud in the mutawatir. Then the question arose that should we then practice it if it's not yaqini? And he gave a rational argument, reasoning for why it should. And that is that ghalibudhan is how we work in this world. Are there any questions before we move on? Okay. Okay, so
sorry, Mona, can you give an example of a mardud hadith or like a famous mardud hadith?
A famous mardud will be utlubu al-ilma walau bis-sin.
Okay.
Or something like al-ghina'u yunbitu an-nifaqa fil qalbi kama yunbitu al-ma'u az-zar'a. Yeah. So those will be famous mardud hadith. Now, do you remember Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani mentioned that the mutawatir hadith gives ilmu al-yaqini and the khabri ahad gives ghalawat al-dhan? Now yeah. He's saying, وَقَدْ يَقَعُ فِيهَا أي فِي أَخْبَارِ الْآحَادِ الْمُنْقَسِمَ إِلَى مَشْهُورٍ وَعَزِيزٍ وَغَرِيبٍ ما يفيد العلم النظر بالقرائن على المختار. Right. Now he's basically saying, despite the fact that the khabri ahad, right, one of the things that you will notice is that when we are using this terminology in hadith science, they tend to use the term khabrul ahad. When we use it in usul al-fiqh, they tend to use the term khabr wahid. Okay, although Imam Ibn Hajar mentioned khabr wahid, but for some reason it's ahad. Ahad basically means individuals, whereas wahid means one person. So in fact, it actually makes sense, ahad, because mashhur, and whereas in usul al-fiqh, khabr wahid is just basically one person narration. Whereas in Ulum al-Hadith, Khabr Wahid is also mashhur, it's also aziz, so it's better. It actually makes sense to call it Khabr Ahad rather than Khabr Wahid. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is saying, despite the fact that normally the mashhur and the aziz and the gharib give fa'ida of ghalabatul dhan, but there are instances, okay, there are instances where even these khabra ahad can give us ilm al yaqini, okay? But that ilm al yaqini is not ilm al yaqini daruri badihi, like the mutawatir, like 1 + 1 = 2. Rather, it's ilm al yaqini and nazari. Nazari is the one, remember, where it takes a bit more longer to process the information, but once you've got the information, that's yaqini. Do you remember the discussion that we had?
Yeah, about China existing.
Say that again?
About China existing.
Yeah. China existing, and then I said, basically said 64 times 73. Told you to get your calculator out. So get your calculator out. Tell me what 64 times 73 is. Umar, 64 times 73.
I'm looking it up now.
Are we there yet?
It's 4,672.
How long did it take you to come up with that information?
40 seconds.
40 seconds. But the conclusion, do you believe it to be yaqini?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I answer this question very quickly. Do you believe that China exists?
Yes.
How long did it tell you to take you to respond to that?
Less than a second.
Less than a second. Right? But both of them are yaqini as far as the end product is concerned. But one is daruri badihi, immediate, and the other one is more considered, right? So,
right.
But the conclusion that you get from both of them is the same. Both, you got yaqeen from both of them. One, you got it faster, and the other one, you got it less fast. Yep.
Right.
So, the khabr ahad, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani saying, sometimes can also give us yaqeeni, benefit. Yaqini benefit basically means that there is no shadow of doubt that this is, 100% correct. That's what yaqini means. There's no shadow of doubt. However, the process is nadhari, not badihi, not daruri. The process is that it's more considered. You have to look into it. You have to think about it, and then you come to the conclusion. Once you come to the conclusion, this is yaqini. There are three ways that a khabar ahad can basically be yaqini nadhari, and that is the when there is some signifiers or some indicators indicating that the khabar should be ilm yaqini nadhari, and there's a technical terminology to this, and that is al-khabar al-ahad al-muhtaf bil-qara'in. I don't have my pad with me now. It's going to take quite a long time to load up. But it's al-khabar al-ahad al-muhtaf bil-qara'in. Muhtaf, ihtifaf, basically means to be associated with. Al-khabar al-ahad al-muhtaf bil-qara'in yufid al-ilm al-yaqni al-nazari. So write that down. Al-khabar al-ahad المحتف بالقرائن يفيد العلم اليقيني النظري. Is that okay? So he says, وقد يقع فيها أي في أخبار الآحاد المنقصعة إلى مشهور وعزيز وغريب ما يفيد العلم النظري بالقرائن على المختار. That from these three, sometimes they give the benefit of a, when we say ilm, ilm means yaqini. Yaqini, but considered knowledge when it is associated with qarina, right? A signifier, ala al-mukhtar, according to the most preferred opinion, khilafan liman aba dhalika, as opposed to those who do not accept that. And one of the people who don't accept that is Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, right? So there is a discussion amongst the scholars of hadith as to whether a sahih hadith, right? Sahih is different from mashhur, aziz, and gharib. Sahih is to do with looking at the individual, looking at the individual people involved and their biography and the nature of the isnad, rather than a kind of quantitative analysis of the isnad. So there is a discussion amongst the ulama of hadith whether the sahih hadith has got yaqini knowledge, gives yaqini knowledge or not, and or whether we need muhtaf bil qara'in. So Imam al-Nawawi is of the opinion that a sahih hadith in and of itself, without, if it is established as sahih, right, that is enough, is sufficient to give yaqini knowledge. You don't need it to be ihtifaf bil qara'in. Okay, he basically says this is a usulul fiqhi discussion which is superimposed onto hadith, Right? We don't need to get Mashhur, Aziz, and Gharib and all of these. These are superimposed into, or at least Mutawatir, and this is imposed, Yaqini, Nadhari, Badihi, Dururi. This is superimposed from Usul al-Fiqh. We don't need that. If we can establish that all of the narrators are Sahih, if we can establish that the Isnad is Muttasil, if we can establish that there are no hidden defects or no anomalies in the hadith, right, then that should give us yaqini knowledge. Okay, so Imam al-Nawawi is, in a way, is against this kind of kalami interjection, usul al-fiqh interjection into hadith. That's why he says khilaf al-liman aba dalika. He's basically doing khilaf of this concept of khabr mashur aziz gharib is yaqini if it is muhtaf bil qara'in. He is disputing that, and not that the khabr wahid in and of itself cannot be ilm al nadhari. He just basically saying that if it's established as sahih, then it should be ilm al nadhari. Okay. والخلاف في التحقيق لفظي. Imam Ibn Hajar is saying that the ikhtilaf really is semantical. It's once we look into it, then it is semantical. Why? He says لأن من جوز إطلاق العلم قيده بكونه نظريا. Because those who allow خبر أحد to be, you know, yaqini, itlaq al-ilm, or itlaq al-yaqeen on it, they basically qayyadahu bikawnihi nadhariyan. They basically make the condition that it needs to be nadhari, considered. Wa huwa al-hasilu anil istidlal. And that only happens after investigating the dalail. Wa man abal itlaqa khassa lafz al-ilmi bil-mutawatir. And whoever opposed application of the word yaqeen onto the khabr ahad, their argument is khassa lafz al-ilm bil mutawatir, that this word is only it's only to be used with the mutawatir. Okay, وَمَا عَدَاهُ عِنْدَهُ ظَنِّيٌّ, and whatever is besides the mutawatir, that is ظَنِّي. لَكِنَّهُ لَا يَنْفِي أَنَّ مَحْتَفَّ بِالْقَرَائِنِ أَرْجَحُ مِمَّا خَلَى عَنْهَا. Okay, so did you understand Imam Ibn Hajar? He's basically saying it's semantical. Those people who deny that those people who accept that khabri ahad can also be have ilmul yaqeen, they always put the condition ilmul yaqeeni and nadhari. Those people who deny that khabri ahad can be yaqeeni, they say that this word is only for to be used with mutawatir and not to be used with anything other than mutawatir. But لا ينفع أن محتفى بالقرائن أرجح مما خلا عنها. Nobody denies that if there is if it has associated with qarina, then that is more preponderant, is more rajih than the one does not have those محتف بالقرائن. So this is where we get the محتف بالقرائن from. Okay. والخبر المحتف بالقرائن أنواع. The خبر which is associated with a قرينه, a signifier, which signifies that it should be خبر العلم اليقيني النظري. There are different types. Okay. Actually, three types. ما أخرج الشيخان. مشهور إذا كانت له طرق متباينة عن المسلسل بالأئمة. But each of these, he's going to go into a bit of detail. So just know what these three are. What you don't want to do is get lost in the details. Okay. So number one is ما أخرجه الشيخان في صحيحيهما, that which Imam Bukhari and Muslim have mentioned in the Sahih Bukhari. مما لم يبلغ التواتر, that which has not reached the level of tawatur. فَإِنَّهُ احْتَفَّتْ بِهِ قَرَائِنَ, because What kind of qarina is there? Says because they have the qarina that signifies number one is minha jalalatuhuma fi hadha sha'ni, that their greatness and magnanimity in fi hadha sha'n, in this field, i.e. in the field of hadith. So number one, their greatness and their brilliance in the field of hadith is one of the reasons why the ahadith that they mention needs to be awarded a higher degree of authenticity or higher degree of epistemology than any other ahadith. Okay, and we do that normally in our everyday dealings. Somebody who's an expert in a field, we accept that expert more than somebody who's a lesser of an expert. Yeah, that's number one. وَتَقَدُّهُمَا فِي تَمْيِيزِ الصَّحِيحِ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمَا, and also as a result of which, تَقَدُّمُهُمَا, their being in the forefront of distinguishing the sahih from all the other scholars. So how to distinguish a sahih hadith, they are at the forefront, عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمَا, than other scholars, right? So again, that's related to جَلَالَةُ شَأْنِهِمَا. And number three is وَتَلَقِّ الْعُلَمَاء لِكِتَابَيْهِمَا بِالْقُبُولِ, and that the ulama have accepted their books. The ulama have accepted their books بِالْقُبُولِ. They have graciously accepted their books. Okay. وَهَذَا التَّلَقِّي وَحْدَهُ أَقْوَى فِي إِفَادَةِ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ مُجَرَّدِ كَثْرَةِ الطُّرُقِ الْقَاصِرَةِ عَنِ التَّوَاتُرِ. And this acceptance, تَلَقِّي, this acceptance by the ulama in and of itself, هَذَا التَّلَقِّي وَحْدَهُ, this acceptance of the ulama in and of itself, أَقْوَى فِي إِفَادَةِ الْعِلْمِ, is much more stronger in giving us the benefit of yaqeen than individual, min mujarrati kathrati turuq al-qasida, than an individual hadith who has many isnad strands but falls below the level of the mutawatir. Right? Says, look, the fact that the, you know, in the Sahih al-Bukhari, you might have, in the Sahih al-Bukhari, you might have ahadith which have got kathrat al-turuq, or you might have khabr ahad. Yeah? Individually, they may not reach the level of yaqeen individually if you were to look at them. But the fact that the ulama have taken those collections as a whole and have accepted them graciously and have put them on a pedestal, that is a dalil that the content of that book is, you know, is better than any other book. So do you understand the argument that he's making? Yeah, Hussein?
Yeah.
However, does this apply to every single ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim? He says no. إلا أن هذا يختص بما لم ينتقده أحد من الحفاظ مما في الكتابين. It only relates to those hadith in those two books where none of the حفاظ have done naqd criticism of. Yeah. So we do know that many حفاظ have criticized some of the ahadith, not all, some of the ahadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. So for example, Imam ad-Darqutni has written two or three books where he is critiquing the ahadith of Bukhari and Muslim. Similarly, Abu Ali al-Ghassani has also written books on Sahih Muslim where he's criticizing those. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, in the Muqaddama of Fathul Bari, which is called Hadj al-Sari, he takes up the challenge to defend Imam al-Bukhari and goes through every single ahadith that Bukhari and Muslim, or at least Bukhari here, has been criticized on, and he is responding to that. Okay, and the criticism basically is not on whether the hadith is sahih or not. The criticism is on whether they could have used better sources of information. So it's like, did I give you the example of the impact drill and the hammer drill last time?
No.
Okay. How many of you do DIY here?
A little bit.
Okay. So do you know the difference between an impact drill or and a hammer drill?
I think so, yeah.
Can you explain? Okay, imagine you want to screw into a piece of wood. You've got two options. You've got a hammer drill in front of you, so you know you can put the screw bit on it. You've got a hammer drill in front of you, and you've got an impact drill in front of you. Which one would you use?
I guess depending on the wall, but probably a hammer drill.
Yeah, so you will say depending on the wall, right? Yeah. Because if the wood is soft and you use an impact drill, then the impact drill, there's no control on the impact drill, and it's very powerful that you probably just go right through the wall if you're not careful enough. Right, the hammer drill, there's a bit more torque and there's a bit more control, but nevertheless, the ghaya and the aim is to screw that screw into the wall. Yeah, now whether you use a hammer drill or whether you use an impact drill, as long as the screw is screwed in properly, then nobody is gonna critique you for using one drill and not the other. But if you were training as a trainee builder and you were giving an exam and you were being assessed, then in that situation, if you were to use a impact drill, you would fail. Okay, because impact drills are for more harder woods. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is that to the layperson, sometimes these things look pedantic, like, okay, big deal. This hadith is mawquf, this hadith is marfu', what's the big deal? But actually, there's the craft of hadith, okay? There's the craft of hadith, and within the craft of hadith, within the discipline, sometimes the ulama, they discuss things in their own discipline, okay? It has no bearing on amal. It has no bearing on the outside world. It's something which is related to the craft of that discipline. In the same way that if you were a builder and you were hired by somebody to go and work in their house, they won't give two hoots whether you are using an impact drill or whether you are using a hammer drill. The point is that it needs to be drilled, okay? But within your own circles of the builders, there is a difference. They might tell you off. If you're an apprentice, your builder might tell you off for using the wrong drill because anything can go wrong. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So similarly, when a lot of the times ulama, so when we say that the ulama have done tanqeed, criticism of Bukhari and Muslim, in their books on the hadith, is not because these hadiths were weak and that Bukhari included a weak hadith. It's that the Bukhari could have used a better source of information. That's what they're critiquing on. So it's like the craft, okay? The hadith is established as sahih, but could he have done better? Imam Ad-Darqutni basically argues that he had more better sources at his disposal. Okay, he could have used those, and therefore, in a way, he has fallen below his own condition of sahih. That doesn't take anything away from the hadith, right? The hadith is sahih, but he could have had more stronger evidence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it has to be those hadiths where none of the ulama have critiqued. Okay, وَبِمَا لَمْ يَقُعْ التَّجَازُ بَيْنَ مَدْلُولَيْهَا مِمَّا وَقَعُوا فِي الْكِتَابَيْنِ حَيْثُ لَا تَرْجِيحُ that there is no contradiction and between the ahadith of these two books. So the second condition is that if there are hadith, there shouldn't be any contradictions between the meanings of the ahadith found in those books. حَيْثُ لَا تَرْجِحَ, to the extent that you are not able to preference one hadith over the other. لِإِسْتِحَالَةِ أَن يُفِيدَ الْمُتَنَاقِضَانِ الْعِلْمِ بِصِدْقِهِمَا مِنْ غَيْرِ تَرْجِيحٍ لِأَحَدِهِمَا عَلَى الْآخَرِ, because of the impossibility of contradictory evidence giving the benefit of yaqeen, benefit of yaqeen as to its trustworthiness, min ghayri tarjihin, without preferring one over the other. Okay, so two conditions. Number one is that it has to be those hadiths where nobody has criticized, like Imam Abu Ali al-Ghassani, Imam Dharqutni, and others have not critiqued on. And secondly, the hadith has to be such that it cannot be, in a word, mustarab. It cannot have contradictory information. So for example, in the hadith of Salatul Kusuf, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Salatul Kusuf once in his life. Okay, there's no other time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Salatul Kusuf. But in the Hadith Muslim, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in two rakats, in each rakat, he did one ruku', which is the way that you normally will do. Okay, in another riwayat, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did two ruku' in one rakat. In another one, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did three ruku'. In another one, another version of that same hadith, we find the Prophet did six ruku'. So it says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, six times before going into sajda. In another version of the same hadith, the Prophet did eight ruku'. Yeah? So now you can basically say that the Prophet did this in different incidents. But we know from the Prophet's biography that he only read Salatul Kusuf once in his lifetime. So this hadith and all the versions, it's the same hadith, all the versions of the hadith are found in Sahih Muslim. We are not able to prefer one version over the other. Now, obviously, other scholars have, but from a hadith technical point of view, if a scholar does a preference because of some other kind of fiqhi issue, like the Hanafis will, you know, like Imam Tahawi makes a strong case, but that's basically more logical argument, not because of, from the point of view of the isnad and sanad, right? So he says, those kind of hadiths are also excluded from the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, which are to be included in علم اليقين النظري. وما عدا ذلك فالإجماع حاث على تسليم صحته. And other than these two types of ahadith, there is إجماع established of the siha of these ahadith. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now there is an اعتراض here. فَإِنْ قِيلَ, if it is said, إِنَّمَا اتَّفَقُوا عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْعَامَلِ بِهِ لَا عَلَى صِحَّتِهِ, that somebody might basically say, well, you know, what is required in the Sahih Bukhari and Muslim is to do amal on them and not iltizam of siha. Okay, not iltizam of siha, but rather is wujub al-amal. Imam Ibn Hajar says, mana'nahu, we don't accept this i'tiraz. Why? Wasanadul mana', and the reason for rejecting is annahum muttafaquna ala wujub al-amal, that the ulama of hadith muttafaq, all agree that one has to act upon wujub al-amal bi kulli ma saha, that one has to act upon every sahih hadith, even though walau lam yukharrijahu ash-shaykhan, even though the shaykhan have not mentioned it, have not done takhrij of it. So if you basically say no, this is only to do with wujub al-amal, sahih al-Bukhari, and it's not really to do with siha, then Imam Ibn Hajar says, no, the ulama of hadith said that any hadith which is any hadith which is sahih, then you need to do amal on that, even though the hadith is not found in Bukhari and Muslim. And if we go with the wujub al-amal argument, right, then what is the difference between Bukhari, Muslim, and all the other books? What's the miza? What is the distinguishing characteristic? Because it's wajib to do amal on all of the hadith, which are sahih. So what is so different about Bukhari and Muslim? So he says, فَلَمْ يَبْقَى لِلْصَحِيحَيْنِ فِي هَذَا مِزْيَا. If we go with the wujub al-amal argument, then Bukhari and Muslim does not have any distinguishing characteristics. وَالْإِجْمَاعُ حَاسِلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ لَهُمَا مِزْيَا فِي مَا يَرْجِعُ إِلَى نَفْسِ الصِّحَّةِ. And there is ijma that the Bukhari and Muslim have got a distinguishing edge over all of them, which relates to the type of sahih hadith that they include, and not only the wujub al-amal. This was just a kind of a jumla mu'tarida. It's really got nothing to do with what he's discussing. It's just a by and by. وَمِمَّنْ صَرَّحَ بِإِفَادَةِ مَا خَرَّجَهُ الشَّيْخَانِ الْعِلْمَ النَّذْرِ. Now he's giving names of some people, those people who say that the Bukhari and Muslim give faida of ilm al-nadhri, al-yaqini, is al-ustaz Abu Ishaq al-Isfara'ini. He was an Ash'ari theologian, okay, Ash'ari Kalami scholar. And وَمِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْحَدِيثِ Abu Abdullah al-Humaydi, right? Abu Abdullah al-Humaydi has written a book called Al-Jam'u Bayna Sahihain, where he's collected all of the ahadith where Sahih Bukhari and Muslim have agreed upon, which is the Muttafaq Alayh. He's also written a book, a hadith book on the benefits of the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu al-Fadl ibn Tahir al-Maqdisi. Okay. He was the first one to bracket and lump the six books together. Yeah. He was the first one to shurutu a'im al-sitta. He was the first one to lump all of the six books together. If you look at other books before him, like Imam al-Hazmi has a book called shurutu a'im al-khamsa, you will see that Ibn Majah is missing there. وغيرهما ويحتمل أن يقول المزية المذكورة كون أحاديثهما أصح الصحيح. And it can also be said that the imtiaz that they have, the distinguishing factor that they have, is that their ahadith is more sahih than any other sahih ahadith, which is the same. Okay, so in a way, this muhtaf bil qara'in with the ahadith of Bukhari and Muslim in a way is an example of mutawatir, right? Because in mutawatir, that so many people have accepted and narrated the mutawatir hadith that you can't call them a liar. Okay, you can't basically say everybody's colluding in a lie. So here is the same thing, that so many ulama have accepted Bukhari and Muslim to the extent that they concede to their greatness, in a way is like the mutawatir, and therefore that is muhtaf bil qara'in, that is ilm al yaqini and nadhir. Does that make sense? Do you see the relationship between mutawatir and the way that Imam Ibn Hajar is arguing this point?
Sheikh, I have a question about this. Last week we talked about the hadith innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, and you showed us in the chain how the first four I think links were it's just one chain, and that is in Bukhari, and I assume is it in Sahih Muslim also, Sheikh?
Yes.
So that's a hadith that's in both Muslim and Bukhari, and I don't know if it's the ones that was in Darqutni's books or others, but in the first four links or so, from what I remember from last week, it was individual. So is he saying in his argument that this hadith, we're 100% certain, not even 99.9, but 100% certain that the wording was exactly that way? It's as if it was Sahih Mutawatir.
Yeah, this is what he's saying, and he's made that case before. Remember, he's when we
right.
when in the Bahas of the Mutawatir, he made the case before about the books being, you know, he made the case before that ulama have accepted the books. So here he's making the same claim, but he's basically saying, first of all, these guys were brilliant scholars, and as a result of which, everybody has taken their books and accepted the books, and that. In the fact that so many people have accepted these books bumps up the ahadith, all of the ahadith into these books are to the level of ilm al yaqini and nadhri, other than the ones that have been criticized by others, or there is an irreconcilable contradiction within the wordings. Yeah, you have understood correct.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Did you have any other questions or follow-up on that? Or
I mean, the only thing is, I guess, because we had the earlier discussion. So
yeah.
When it's like one person on one person on one person, if they're truthful and their memory is good and everything, obviously gives you very, very high 99.9%. But isn't there a possibility one of them maybe made a small mistake in the wording or a small change or something?
Yeah, but what Imam? So that's the general for all of the Khabr al-Ahad. That's the general rule. Here is an right. exception to the rule, and that is that those Khabr al-Ahad which are muhtaf bil qara'in, their right. level is just a bit higher than your average, and because of the circumstances around it. That's why right. he's careful not to say ilm al-yaqini al-daruri, because ilm al-yaqini al-daruri is 100%. Ilm al-yaqini and nadhari will be 99.99999999999.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, just that slight bit of niggle
the
there.
Point
that's
one.
Why that's
right.
the difference nadhari and yaqin daruri.
Okay, now that
Does
makes
that make sense.
Sense. Yeah.
But it's so minute that it's almost as if like, you know, we don't take it into consideration.
Got it.
Okay, let's call it a day here. Inshallah, we will pick up after Ramadan. So this week definitely will be Ramadan. Everyone, please pray for me, and I will pray for everyone, and we pick up, inshallah, after Eid. Okay?
Marlon, a quick question. The Eid, if it falls on the Friday or the Saturday, is the next class going to be on the following Sunday or the week after?
Maybe the week after, because it'll be like if it's a weekend, then chances are that there will be some da'wah or thing like that during the weekend.
Sure.
Yeah, eat sure. da'wah. Yeah.
Last one. Sorry, a good like a easy translation for muhtaf bil qara'in, like an English translation.
Muhtaf bil qara'in will be that which is associated with a signifier, like a longer okay. translation. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sheikh, so I see that a lot of classes haven't been uploaded on YouTube.
Are any of the classes been uploaded?
There are three classes on.
Okay, so I think I will just have to ask the wise admin to upload. I actually have got no power over that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Sheikh. Pray for us in Ramadan.
Inshallah. So just tell me where everybody's from again. So I know that Hussein is from London. Omar, you have a American accent.
Yeah, I'm here in Virginia, in the United States of America.
Okay, so you're in the capital then?
Yeah.
at least the capital state. Faisal, you're in?
Montreal, Canada.
Canada. Ontario, did you say?
Montreal.
So French.
Yeah.
And Ahmed, where are you from?
My name is Fahad Ahmed, so I'm from Ontario.
So you're from Canada as well?
Okay. Yeah, Toronto, yeah.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair. Everybody, kullu sana wa antum tayyibun and Eid Mubarak. If I don't hear from you before that, take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.